You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. We begin with a little pre-apocalyptic news. We hear about nuclear policy in isolation virtually every day. Sit down now. We're going to learn you something about nuclear policy and all of its contradictions. Today, India is set to clear one of the last three hurdles to its historic nuclear deal with the United States. The International Atomic Energy Agency is expected to approve a mechanism to safeguard and inspect Indian nuclear facilities, lifting a 34-year-old ban on selling U.S. nuclear fuel and technology to India, even though Delhi has tested nuclear weapons and refuses to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And tomorrow is also the deadline for Iran, which has signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty, to agree to end its nuclear ambitions or else face more sanctions. So, are you keeping notes here? If you have nukes in India, we'll reward you with this cooperation agreement. But if you're Iran, we punish you. If you're North Korea, we scratch our heads. We're not sure exactly what to do there. Sharon Weinberger, veteran nuclear analyst and author of Nuclear Family Vacation, travels in the world of atomic weaponry. A bit of a multiple personality disorder going on here, don't you think, Sharon?
Well, this has long been the criticism of the administration going back for a few years now, that basically we treat countries differently depending on where they are on the political spectrum, where they are in relation to the United States. Pakistan in particular has been very critical of the U.S. deal with Iran, with India.
So, I mean, how are people to understand the fundamental differences between the supposed responsibility of India and the supposed irresponsibility of Iran?
A little bit of political expediency. I mean, one of the major accusations, a little bit of schizophrenia on the approach of the United States, where, you know, as you mentioned, we're rewarding a country that has not been a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which has had a nuclear weapons program, where Iran, on the other hand, which is a signatory to the treaty, although there have been accusations of secret nuclear work, it is a signatory to the treaty. Their argument is they are abiding by the treaty. They're working within the framework of the treaty. They have already IAEA inspectors, and they're in effect have been punished. They face sanctions. And to the world, it's very, very hard because it sends a mixed signal. It says, you know, basically, you know, what can you do to kind of earn the good graces of the United States and the international community? It's not clear if you treat people differently.
Well, is there any way using the current mechanisms of international governance to come up with a policy that's going to be a sufficient umbrella for the likes of Israel, believed to be a nuclear power, India, Iran, Pakistan, and the European nations that are already nuclear?
Well, it comes down to sort of some of the fundamental problems that have come up in the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, that for starters being that not everyone is a signatory to it. But even those who are, such as Iran, you have a lot of ambiguities. You know, Iran's ongoing argument is that they have the right to enrich uranium. And the treaty is ambiguous on the degree to which you can enrich uranium, because once you master the technology to enrich uranium for nuclear power, you have the capability to enrich it for nuclear weapons. It's a matter of percentage, basically. So one could argue that there's fundamental flaws in the current international framework, but if you aren't abiding by the current international framework, you can't come to agreements with countries under it. The idea that somehow you need a new framework is also a little bit flawed. One of the ongoing arguments as well for people is, you know, that we basically turned a blind eye to Israel's nuclear program, to their nuclear weapons program, which is not a declared nuclear power, but is presumed to have a reasonable stockpile.
And there's no even remote possibility of inspections in Israel based on the internal Israeli policy and also U.S. politics.
Oh, no. In fact, it's very much a taboo subject. I was just speaking to a nuclear expert who was in Israel meeting with think tanks recently, and they said that, you know, even think tanks, you can't really have a discussion with them about the nuclear issue. I mean, it's acknowledged that Israel's a nuclear power, but it's a very, very secretive program, and it's just something that's not really talked about within Israel that much.
Well, perhaps, you know, what we need to do is reboot some broad global issue, some rethinking of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, just say never mind about what's gone on and just try to start afresh and move forward. I guess, is there any way of looking at this cooperation agreement with India as a net positive and possibly a model for other relationships going forward in the last question here?
Well, I guess one could say it's a net positive for U.S.-Indian relations. I mean, you will, for the first time, if it goes through, you'll have IAEA inspectors in India, and that in itself is a good thing. It's not that everything is bad about it. It's a question of the message it sends to the world. I mean, the question we have going forward and that you're starting to see in the presidential campaign is the candidates start to define nuclear issues. I mean, what's been missing is sort of leadership from the United States, and what is our overall direction? Overall, what are we trying to achieve in nonproliferation? What would we like the world to look like when it comes to nuclear weapons? Mm. And you're just starting to see the debate on that.
A great subject for a presidential candidate speech, but one that we're not likely to see, but certainly something to hope for. Sharon Weinberger, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sharon Weinberger is the author of Nuclear Family Vacation: Travels in the World of Atomic Weaponry. She's also a senior reporter for Wired.com, the Danger Room blog.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.